I'm Julie Bullitt. I've been a family therapist for over 30 years.
I'm David Bullitt. I've been a divorce and family lawyer for more than 35 years.
Together, we have been married for more than 37 years.
In our professional practices, the two of us have been witnesses to individuals and families struggling with life's most difficult challenges. In this podcast, we will talk about the conversations we have had,
the conversations we should have had,
and those that every relationship needs to have in order to find success, happiness, and fulfillment.
This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. So welcome back to Conversations for Couples,
the podcast.
We are incredibly excited today, in more than one way, by the way, to have this guest. This is a woman who is a CEO of two companies, the author of numerous books and programs on sex and intimacy. She calls herself a sexual biohacker and a self-proclaimed orgasmonaut, which I definitely want to get into that. And we're here to talk about all things sex and intimacy today. Welcome aboard, Susan Bratton. We're thrilled to have you here.
Hi, David. Hi, Julia. I'm really happy to be here because, in all honesty, my sweet spot is monogamous couples who want to fight for their sex life and have great intimacy, whatever that looks like, till the day they die.
Well,
and they understand that it's a foundation.
And I want to thank you. I want to thank you before we dig into libidos and all the rest of it. We owe you a big, big thank you because we watched one of your episodes not that long ago. And without telling too much, because although our kids rarely listen to this, scissoring has become quite a thing here in our house.
Oh, so, that's so funny. Yeah, yeah, that was a new sex position we tried, and I really liked it.
Yeah, I didn't mind it either.
Me too. Yes. Anyway, so thank you for doing the podcast, but thank you for also offering real content that really works.
Yeah, absolutely. So talk a little bit about, let's start with this whole concept that people have mismatched libidos, and that's why we don't have good relationship, sexual relations, intimacy with our partner.
Yeah. I think that I want to get rid of that whole concept of mismatched libidos, because first thing is that there's libido, desire, and arousal. And libido is your physical health. And if you're not physically healthy, you don't have a libido. It's not strong. You can tell when you're getting better, when your libido begins to come back. And so libido is, okay, you can do a lot of things with libido. It could be that you're suffering from erectile dysfunction, or you have a loss of lubrication, you have loss of sensation. You just don't feel well enough. You don't have enough internal resources to want to make love. Those are all the libido-y type things. Then there's desire. And desire is really how you feel about yourself and how you feel about your partner. And there are a lot of people who have a real core wound around feeling worth, feeling love, feeling that you are someone who is worthy of attention and affection. There are other issues around body image, feeling unattractive, feeling yucky, feeling fat, feeling like you've been breastfeeding all day and you don't want to be touched. You know, there's that kind of thing. And then there's the emotional desire. It could be that you're stressed out, you're a workaholic, you're angry about finances, you're not getting along in other areas of your your family business, you know, all of those kinds of things. So there's the desire aspect of it, which I consider to be the more emotional side of things. But here's where the real trick comes in. And I think those are pretty easy for people to understand. The real trick comes in, and this is why I don't like the idea of mismatched libidos, and that's arousal. And the masculine, and I'm going with the general assumption that most of your listeners, the big bell curve, are pair-bonded male-female monogamous couples.
I think that's right.
Or want to be in a good relationship like that. And I support people across the spectrum of gender expression, et cetera, poly, open, all those things, because our operating systems work the way our operating systems do. There's nature and there's nurture. There's hormones, neurotransmitters. There's all of the ways that our body works, the physical part of it, as well as our cultural programming, abuse, things that we've gone through, trauma, repression, etc. But the biggest bottom line around mismatched libidos is that women most often say to me, and it could be the man, it doesn't necessarily have to be the woman, but the woman most often says to me, I want to want him, but I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm not ready to go. I'm not turned on. There's something wrong with me because he always wants sex. He'd drop trow at the moment's notice. And I don't. It's like I never really take the initiative. And she feels like there's something wrong with her. And he feels like there's something wrong with him. And yeah, that's because of this notion of mismatched libidos, which is actually nothing is wrong with her. Absolutely nothing is wrong with her. She just has a different arousal operating system than he does. And when guys say to me, what's the number one sex technique? Because they're focused on giving her incredible pleasure. They want the shortcut. They want the magic bullet. They want the trick. They want the answer. And they want to make sure she's happy because they feel guilty about their desire. And they feel like it's too much when it's not at all either. And often she'll say, well, I just, you know, my libido is shot. You know, I went through menopause. I'm not interested in sex. I've gotten less and less interested in it. It's like pushing a rock up a mountain to get me turned on. And I guess it's just me. And he's like, well, I guess it is just you, but we're still going to have sex because this is what we need to do. Right. And then nobody's happy because he feels like he's pressuring her and she feels guilty. And that's because I think there's this notion of mismatched libido rather than her arousal ladder is entirely different than his. Mm-hmm. If he's healthy. And I would like to talk about reversing erectile dysfunction, painful sex, what I would call sexual regenerative therapies and biohacking, because that is a thing that stops a lot of couples. But we'll get to that. And what's really going on for him is if he's healthy, he's got nighttime erections. He wakes up with morning wood. He masturbates daily or a number of times a week, often to pornography.
This is the first time we've spoken. I mean, I don't know how you know all this about me.
But have you been watching my husband?
I've been listening to your show.
Couldn't help myself.
And he's ready to go. He's full speed ahead. He's testosterone dominant and he's oriented toward completing a goal. He's single-minded. He's very focused. And she's the opposite of that. She is estrogen dominant. And she has, if I held up a banana, imagine a banana and it's his penis. 50% of his penis sticks out of his body and 50% of it goes in and down toward his testicles. And the entire fruit, if you will, of his banana penis is erectile tissue. If I peeled his banana and took out what was inside and put it on my hand, it would fill my hand up with banana erectile tissue, banana fruit erectile tissue.
Sounds sexy.
If I, well, if you like bananas, a passion fruit is not the right size, right format. And then if you took that banana and you could curve it up to a teardrop, that's how much erectile tissue is in her vulva, in her urogenital structures. And he has three straight tubes in his penis. She has three funny little structures in her vulvovaginal system, but it's the same amount of erectile tissue. I could sit here with the erectile tissue out of a male and a female body, hold them in my hands in front of me, and I would look like Lady Liberty with my scales balancing equally. The downside is that those straight shots, they get filled up with blood. Like he basically sees your boob. He gets excited and it fills up with blood and he's ready to go. And he's got an erection. He's got fast acting hemodynamics where for her, she's got these nooks and crannies that take a long time for the blood flow to come down into her pelvic bowl and fill that same tissue with blood flow. And the thing is that for her, being estrogen dominant, estrogen is the molecule of safety. Women are not safe walking in the world. You know this, Dave. You know you have to protect your woman. And that's one of the beautiful things about the male-female package is that you provide that safety and security and protection for us. And when we don't walk in the world safely, estrogen has, over the millennia, become the molecule that keeps us with our mind on a million things, watching everything around us to keep us safe. And when we're doing that, we're not in our body, we're in our head, we're in fear, we're in anxiety, we're in worry, we're in a lack of safety and security.
And we have our to-do list that is going off in our head 24/7.
And that's one of the reasons why sex is a mindfulness practice, because we have to keep bringing ourselves back to heart connection, sensation, love, pleasure. And so we need our men to help us get out of our head and into our body and to slowly get us relaxed so that we can begin to climb the arousal ladder. When we're in flight, fight, feed, flee, we're not relaxed and the blood can't flow. And when the blood can't flow, we can't get wet. We can't lubricate. We can't get engorged like you can so quickly. We need that blood to flow in, flow through our vaginal mucosal linings, wet. The blood plasma wets the vagina, makes us feel turned on. We let down, we relax, we're able to focus on you. And that takes us a good 20 minutes of what, and this is another phrase I don't like either. I don't like foreplay and sex because it makes it sound like intercourse is the goal and couples are oriented toward having intercourse. You each have your orgasm and then you have checked your completion.
Yeah.
And the problem is that foreplay is a big part of what women need and what we think about as sex. So if we think about sex as all of the things, lovemaking is the word that I like, or making love, then you are lying down together, you're setting the lover space, you're putting on the music, and you're getting out the warm stack of towels, and you're lying down the fascinator, and you're getting out your oils, and you're making the lighting nice and the temperature of the room nice, and you're relaxing in each other's arms, and you're letting go of anything you need to say, and you're checking in with each other, and you're catching up, and you're grounding, and Dave's holding Julia, and he's got her in his arms, and she's finally going, and then he just holds her tighter instead of letting her go. Like, oh, okay, she's like, no, let's get some more. Let's let the tears come out. Let's let the mouth salivate. Let's let the vagina lubricate. Let's let the breasts kind of let down so they have some sensation and some blood flow to them. Let her relax. And then once she has that relaxation, so she's not rushing herself to try to have the arousal pattern of her male-bodied partner, which is nearly impossible for her. She gets out of the mode of just having sex for him because now she's having sex for herself. She's getting a yoni massage, erotic massage. She's making out with him. He's stroking her body. He's telling her three things that he finds sexy about her. They're having laughs. There's no hurry. She's starting to get turned on. She's thinking of things that would be fun to do now. She wants you finally. And I think those are the things that hold people back because we're so stressed out by everything. Well,
I'm listening to you, and it reminds me of walking my dogs. Okay, that sounds like an odd comparison, but like Julie's not a dog person, right? So she'll come with me to walk the dogs, and she wants to get from here to there. Let's get them walked and get them
right.
Home.
Did they do their business? Did we get our mile?
It's a job,
you know.
But for dogs, it's not where you're going. It's the fact that you're going there. So I'm sitting here thinking about walking my dogs as you're talking about the process.
It's
not
good
that
analogy.
I want to think about the two together, but it really is what you're saying. I think what it really is that it's a lot of it is the journey. It's how you don't have to have intercourse to have a good sexual
experience.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So Susan, like this sounds just so wonderful, so
good.
Fabulous, and I think you're right on. You know your stuff.
Thank you.
What do you do if you're out of practice? What do you do if you're not feeling connected to your partner?
Yeah.
And maybe you haven't even had sex in months or years. How do you start? How do you begin?
Yeah. Well, the first thing is, I want to say one thing about intercourse before we move on to this. And I will immediately answer your question after this. Intercourse, the way that we see it in the movies, we see it in pornography, et cetera, is very male-oriented technique. Right. It's to get him off. So over the last two decades that I've been writing passionate lovemaking techniques for lovers, I've written a dozen intercourse techniques that actually feel great for the vagina, not just the penis. So it's less of the old in and out and more different kinds of techniques. I've got the heart tongue, glissando, feline grind. There's a lot of different techniques that I give couples, and I've assembled them all 10 of them. You can link to all 10 of them one by one, and they're free, from orgasmicintercourse.com. So I know Dave's writing the notes.
Yeah, we'll have this in our show notes so people can get it.
Which I appreciate. Thank you. Orgasmicintercourse.com will teach you. And what's fun about it is that this kind of answers your question, Julia, mm-hmm. which is how do you get back on the horse? And the first thing is that you stop feeling guilty about not having sex. Number two, you stop thinking sex is just intercourse. Number three, you figure out what you used to do that you enjoyed. And often the reason you've stopped making love is that you were doing it the old way and she didn't feel like she could keep up. It wasn't that good for her. She didn't want it anymore because it was just him getting off inside her, treating her like a masturbatory sock. And she was just complete. She wasn't getting what she needed. And that's nobody's fault. You don't know what you don't know till you have the opportunity to have an honest conversation on a podcast, which is the only uncensored medium where you can actually get this kind of information. And you start to understand that sex isn't just a drive to or intercourse, but that you also need to learn how to have mutually satisfying, massively orgasmic intercourse. Because most women think they just can't have an orgasm from intercourse. And so then he's like, well, I guess she can't, but we're still going to do it. And mm-hmm. so it really changes it when she starts having really good orgasms. But it's instead of this drive to intercourse, you look at what you can do, what's on the table. Because a lot of times what happens with couples is somebody gets sick, emotional, mental, or both. And then that ruins their libido. And then they never get reignited. They just stop, literally stop touching each other because if I touch you, it's a signal that I want sex. So now mm-hmm. we're sleeping in separate rooms and we no longer touch and we have a platonic relationship. And that couple roommates. Is going to die 10 years sooner mm-hmm. and infinitely, inordinately less happy than the couple who works through the issues. One day, a few years ago, I sent out an email to my Better Lover newsletter list. And I'd love for your readers to get on it because these are the kinds of things I talk about. You can get on it at betterlover.com. And it's 2 times a week. And I give you a sex technique 2 times a week that is often a communication skill, a pleasuring skill, the kinds of things that I've been talking about. And when you are driving toward intercourse and you think that's what you should do, you leave all the other stuff on the table. So I sent out an email to my list and I said, email me back with what is holding you back from having the sex that you want in your marriage relationship. And don't send me anything back if you're single and that's the reason why. This is for people in relationship. mm-hmm. What is it that you think is the reason why you're not having sex? What happened? Mm-hmm. And I may not be able to reply to every single person individually because I'm going to get between 500 and 1,000 responses to this email from you guys. So I will reply with solutions that cover what the problems are. And Maurice, who's worked for me for almost 15 years in my care team, she's very analytical like I am. And we looked at every single response, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of responses from people. And we organized it into clusters. And the clusters were basically various illnesses, mm-hmm. loss of erectile function for mm-hmm. women, loss of lubrication, painful sex, loss of orgasmic intensity, And then there was one that was very emotional. And I would consider depression and anxiety to be in physical, mm-hmm. emotional, because mm-hmm. everything is physical and emotional. But there was one that was non-physical issue, and that was betrayal. And that was mm-hmm. about 20% of the couples. Mm-hmm. There was betrayal. And what I found is that, and I believe that it's due a lot to nature and nurture, but genetic SNPs of around serotonin, there's about 20% of the world who, when they think about a tragic thing that happened to them, it's a raw cut over and over again. They cannot move past it. They envision the pain. They feel the pain like it's a fresh wound. Those people need additional coping mechanisms to get through that betrayal. But for the large majority of people, about 80%, it was something physical happened, physical, emotional mm-hmm. happened.
Yeah.
And I put together something called the magic pill method. Because often couples won't go to therapy about these things. They mm-hmm. don't talk about it. They stuff mm-hmm. it under the rug. They're not yep. coming to see you.
Yep.
Or they want to try to fix it themselves. But generally, the guy feels like it's not a level playing ground. She's either going to stonewall him or she's going to talk circles around him and he's going to lose. And men hate to lose above all. They're in a pecking order in the masculine world and they don't want to get jammed down. They need to get lifted up. They need to win. So they don't approach it. So I created the magic pill method, which is at magicpillmethod.com. And it's
putting that in the show notes.
Thank you. It's a 5-step workbook where I break it up into these little exercises that you do together, that you have time to prepare mm-hmm. for. Mm-hmm. Because women can think faster on their feet than men about emotional issues. For men, often, and everything's a generality, everything's a bell curve.
Yes.
But men generally have a harder time moving their feelings into verbal constructs. And so it gives him time to think about it, but it's also, you make lists. What did I used mm-hmm. to love to do with you? What do I miss the most? And then what's off the table for me now?
Yeah.
For example, if he's got ED and he's can't get hard enough for penetration, he tried Trimix, he's tried a cock ring, you know, he's tried, but he still can't maintain a firm enough erection. That's a non-starter for him. But then the next segment of that process is, okay, divide and conquer. You're both good at different things. One of you is really good at finding the solutions to the problems, doing the research, finding the doctor. The other one of you is really good at making the appointment, driving you both there, taking the notes, and mm-hmm. figuring out the action plan. And you're already thinking to yourself, you know which one of you is better at each of these things. So you're coming together to solve the problem. And that's where you move into regenerative therapies like Gaines wave treatments. Have you guys heard about those?
I have not. No, I haven't.
I think I have heard about that.
It's an acoustic wave treatment. You go to a Gaines wave practitioner and it's an acoustic wave treatment that's applied to the penis and or to the vulvo-vaginal area, not up inside, but all on the outside. And these sound waves penetrate into the tissue and they stimulate new tissue growth, which brings in healing factors. It basically grows new tissue, which grows new capillary growth, which then grows new nerves, so that the guy, and it also, for men, it knocks plaque off the penile artery, which is what happens with men as they start to get heart disease.
Mm-hmm.
They start to lose erectile function. And so once you can clean up the blood system and grow new tissue to reverse the atrophy of aging and illness, then I recommend using it stacked with, in combination with, nitric oxide supplementation for both of you if you're over 40. And using a vacuum erection device, a penis pump, along with your Gaines wave. For women, they tend to respond directly to the Gaines wave for her and the nitric oxide. They don't necessarily need the vulval and clitoral pumps, but there are some women. Like I had a guy write to me recently, and this is very, very common. And he said, my wife says she has vanishing clit. I can't even find it anymore. It's like it's sucked up inside her. And she would benefit from the vacuum erection, the clitoral vacuum erection mm-hmm. device. Now, to find out all about this information, mm-hmm. I have an ebook that I've written for free that's a download that it just explains everything and how it all works, the science, et cetera. That's at pumpingguide.com.
Oh, I love that. So you have so much knowledge and resource in this area. We're so happy to talk to you.
Good. Thank you. Yeah, this is my jam. When you guys reached out to me, I was like, oh, hell yeah, I want to be on your show. You're perfect together.
I want to ask you a question. Yeah. Okay. And I think that, you know, one, and again, I'm one of those who thinks about what compares to what. So as you're speaking again, there was a comedian that died many years ago. His name is Sam Kinison.
I know Sam.
And Sam Kinison was a big heavy set guy.
Yeah, he's the ABC alphabet on your clitoris.
That's right. And he said, you know, no one tells you how to do it. There's no government pamphlet.
Right.
And I think that part of what you've helped thus far is to help people understand what they should do.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit. Let's take it a little bit further and let's talk about that couple, which is, we'll call them couple X, because we see a lot of couple X in our business. Okay. Yeah. And like Julie said, there, you know, and often, and this strikes me because the woman in this one couple said this to us, you know, it's not the same. You know, when we were younger, if I see somebody that means they haven't been married very long. If they really like sex, they probably haven't been together that long.
Uh-huh.
And you talked a little bit earlier about fighting for your sex life.
Yeah.
And I want to shift to that a little bit, if we can, because. Yeah. Because I see what I hear and see, and again, you know, what I did was I was a divorce lawyer for many, many years, and
you
one
still
of the,
are.
I still am, and one of the big, you know, obviously one of the big reasons that people, especially later in life, as you get, we have a lot of gray divorce, is that they're looking for more physically, they're looking
sex
for more
money.
Sexually. Yeah, I mean, so how do you talk to those folks? What advice can you give them? Those people who are still in love, you know, they raise their kids, they manage their families, they're going about their day. You know, and in sex, and as you said, sex is just another box to check. So now we don't want it to be just a box to check anymore, right?
Yeah.
We want it to be more than that. We want it to be something that they're looking forward to. So how do you talk to those people in terms of, you know, what can you do Saturday night, tomorrow? What's your homework? What homework do you give those folks?
Yeah. Good. So to finish off on Magic Pill Method, and then I'll immediately answer your question. The Magic Pill Method, give that fifth step is that you're going to compromise. You're going to start doing the things you both enjoy still doing. You're not going to think that just because you can't have intercourse, your sex life is over. That's not sex. Intercourse is one aspect of sex. Kissing, full body touch, lingerie photo shoots, sexy dancing, lingam and yoni massage. Yoni being the woman's vulvo vaginal system. It's yoni means portal in tantric lovemaking, and vaginal massages, vulval massages, or yoni, which is all of the parts, are really, really nice. And I recommend sex tools. They're at all the sex tools that I recommend and have personally vetted, tried out, and think are the creme de la creme of the moment. And they're changing all the time because I'm moderating a panel next week, God willing, in Los Angeles with all these fires we've been having, about sex tech. And sex tech is rapidly developing and there's some incredible things. And you will not become dependent on toys. They actually activate more neural pathways to pleasure, help you with engorgement, and improve your orgasms. And so I am encouraging you to start using toys in partnered play. This is leading me to the answer to your question. And when you start to realize, okay, I can go fix all these things. There's solutions out there to my physical problems. And we now are starting to do things together. Our closeness is warming up. We're starting to get hands-on. We're generating some more oxytocin with each other. We're happier with each other. And we're going to get to the point where we can also enjoy intercourse. And then we're going to practice those orgasmic intercourse techniques. So the Magic Pill Method, when you see it through, it gets you back together again. And you can have numerous, I've been married 33 years. And we've had numerous renaissance. You've been 39, right?
38 and a half.
And so you've probably also had numerous renaissance in your sex life as you've aged. You've gone through different stages of your life. You've raised your children. You know, who can have sex when their kids are in the house? I mean, it's just a time of your life when your priorities are different. Mm-hmm. Yes. But you can come back to each other and it can get hotter than ever. And here's mm-hmm. how. Another thing that I think a lot of people talk about is scheduling sex. But the problem with scheduling sex is everyone thinks sex is intercourse. Nobody is. If you were having great intercourse, you'd want to be scheduling it. And if you're not, you do not want to be scheduling it. And so I give you a different angle into it. And I think you could say, okay, well, that's semantics. And I'm like, okay, fine. Semantics freaking count. Because yeah. if you say to your wife, do you want to have sex? She's going to say no. Because where is she? She's up in her head. She's in her to-do list. She's getting her shit done. She's not relaxed. She's pumping cortisol. You know, she's got all that stuff going on. She needs you as the man to make her small offers. One of my top-selling programs I've been very lucky to have a number of mentors. Dr. Patty Taylor has been a huge mentor in my life. She was the first person in the world who did a PhD in orgasmic potential. And so
that's my dog.
That's Archie.
It's Archie.
So
as soon as you said orgasmic, he started barking.
Yeah. Maybe he knows something we don't know.
So she taught me how important orgasm is. And if you look at the health benefits of intimacy, you can get about 80 to 90% of the way there, not having orgasms, but orgasms are a learned skill. And there are 20 different kinds of orgasms both the male and female body can have. So really? Why would you leave money on the table? Why wouldn't you try to learn how to have all of them, right? But when you offer sex, it's too big an offer. So what Dr. Patty taught me in a program I sell, which is called the Seduction Trilogy. It's at seductiontrilogy.com. But if you just want the short free version, it's at moresexmoreoften.com. I like to make everything I have something where you get a lot of free benefit, even mm-hmm. if you can't afford to buy it. I don't expect everyone to buy my stuff. It's there if you want it, and I'd love you to have it, because to me, it's the single biggest game changer in monogamous coupled relationships is understanding the four keys to seduction and why the masculine needs to provide that sexual leadership around seduction, but do it in the way that his female partner's arousal ladder works. And that is to make her small offers that she can say yes to instead of big offers that get you feeling victimized and rejected.
Yeah.
So what's a small offer?
A small offer is, would you like to go in the bedroom and lie down and I'll hold you in my arms. I'll get the nest all ready. I'll hold you in my arms and you can tell, we'll just connect and I'll rub anything that hurts. I'll brush your hair. I'll get you a glass of wine. I'll give you a face rub, a foot rub. I'll do some breast massage, anything, whatever you want, babe. And there's no pressure to have sex. There's no pressure to do anything. Let's just see where it goes and what you feel like. And if you do that, because remember those couples where if you touch her, she's like, why are you touching me? Are you trying to get sex? And she pulls right. away. You have to give a woman so much touch that is not trying to get something from her mm-hmm. so that she can relax and receive that touch without the pressure. People talk about performance anxiety for men, but women have just as much performance anxiety around mm-hmm. intercourse and lovemaking as men do. Mm-hmm. So when you begin to make her these small offers, can I get you a glass of wine and do you want to put your feet up on the sofa and I'll give you a foot rub and you can tell me about your day? Yes. Do you want me to order Chinese takeout and put the fire on in the bedroom and pour some glasses of wine and I'll hold you? Yes. Not do you want to have sex?
Right.
She's gotcha. Just not there. So then once you start getting her body to trust mm-hmm. that you'll never push her beyond what she wants, mm-hmm. she'll let down and she'll want more. Mm-hmm. And then when you institute a yoni massage program, and there are two massagers I like, they have weird names, but they're one is called, it's the Queen, and the other is called Premium 2. It's a stupid name, but they're on orgasmicintercourse.com. And the queen is very it penetrates deeply into her vulval tissue to bring the blood flow up really nicely. Because if you don't have an engorged yoni, if you don't get that blood flow into the yoni and you rush her into intercourse, it's not going to feel good to her. It's like you as a man having intercourse with a flaccid penis. It just doesn't feel as good.
When it's firm
and straining and veiny and hard as a rock and you touch it, it feels so good. Some women never achieve the level of engorgement their partners do their entire sex life. And he wonders why she doesn't want to have sex with him. So the tools, they accelerate the engorgement so that the surface area is greater, so that when you touch almost any part of her yoni, it's got all these extra signals going to her biggest sex organ, her
brain.
Yes.
So I wanted to ask you, because that's sort of a big thing that I see in my office as a therapist, is women, and again, we're generalizing here.
Yeah.
Women need to feel the emotional connection before they're willing to do the physical.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of men could be fighting with their partner and still get it on.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so can you talk about that piece? Because I think that's so important, that emotional connection.
Yeah. So for men, a lot of times, because they're goal oriented and testosterone dominant, they kind of get shortchanged around the emotional connection of sex. There are many men who they need as much emotional connection as their female partners do. It's not all men, but for men, they're really, really wanting to give their woman incredible pleasure. They feel really badly if they feel like they're forcing themselves on her. They feel really badly if she's not having a fabulous time, and they feel really sad that they don't quite know what to do. And honestly, for a lot of guys, they are dealing with partners who have had sexual trauma, religious repression, body shaming, and just living in our friggin' culture sucks for women. Yes. And so the guys end up having to deal with all that stuff, plus not understanding how their bodies work versus their woman's, and never learning any pleasure techniques except what they see on porn, which is male oriented.
Mm-hmm.
So for a lot of the men, they have premature ejaculation and they feel really disappointed in themselves. One in four men of all ages suffers from a loss of stamina often due to furtive masturbation, doing it very quickly because they just need to get a load off the top.
Oh, you said that very quickly, honey.
What'd you say, David?
I said,
I know that. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so then they enter into lovemaking, feeling the pressure of, oh my God, what if I blow my load too soon? What if she doesn't have a good time? You know, and then they're in their heads. So she's in her head, he's in his head, and they're not in their hearts. I remember I was talking to a young man one time, and I love it when 20-somethings ask me questions about sex so I can get them early and fix what their misunderstandings are so they have a great sex life the rest of their life. And he said, sex doesn't seem to be, and I hear this from kids all the time. I'm in my 60s and having the best sex of my life. I have to say, I've got a date with my partner tonight and I'm already looking forward to it. I got up this morning and I was like, I would like to have a date. Our daughter's visiting for the holidays. And I said, I pray to God she's going out tonight because, I'm sure she is, because she's probably needs a break from us because we just did a week of skiing together. But I can't have sex if my daughter's in the house. I mean, it's really hard for me. It's just a tough time. So I already made a date with him for later tonight, which is, and my daughter's like, yes, I'm going out tonight. I was secretly like, yay. Yes. kids don't want to hear their parents having sex.
No,
they want to know they had sex.
Yes.
They want to know they had a good sex life. They just don't want to have to listen to it.
Actually, we were talking about the strategy of trying to get our adult daughter to move out. We were like, okay, we just need to start having really loud sex. And that will get
right. I heard you're loud.
Packing your bags before we were finished.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
That's so cute. So anyway, he starts to go. So this young guy, he's like, sex isn't as good as I thought it would be. And I could already tell that he was one of those kids that was all up in his head and he hadn't learned how to connect his penis to his heart. And so I said to him, okay, honey, here's what you need to do. You need to stop worrying and you need to start loving and you need to learn how to feel. I want you to pretend that your penis and your heart are directly connected. And even if you're having a one night stand, I want you to love that woman full out with all your heart. I want you to keep working on your heart muscle because it is a muscle. It's a muscle and a door. It's a muscle that gets better with use. And it's a door because when you love, you swing that door wider and wider and wider open and you love more and more and more. But when you get hurt, it slams shut even harder. But you'll recover to love even better again. Don't be afraid. Don't hold back. And put your heart like it's all the way down in your penis. And when you're inside her, she can feel your heart beating and beaming and soaking her inside with all the love that you have for the honor that you feel to be with her in this moment, having this beautiful experience. And he looked at me and he was like, my God, that's it. And I said, that's going to keep, when you're focused on connection and love, you don't have time to worry. So it is what men do. They get in their heads too with anxiety. And so that's why when you go to therapists, sex therapists, almost always the very first thing they'll do is a technique called sensate focus, which is the mindfulness practice of feeling and putting your attention on the pleasure that you're co-creating rather than all the other bullshit that's swirling around in your head. Keep bringing yourself back to pleasure and connection. So just to finish off your question, I want to give you one last link.
Shoot.
And that is, now that you know about the small offers, for the couples who have a good sex life and they want it to be as good as Susan Bratton's, where it keeps getting better and better right through to their 100s, because that's what gives us a long, happy, healthy life. It's not just relationship, it's sex and it's orgasms. Because you can have good sex, but once you learn how to have hot, orgasmic sex, you're really pumping hormones, neurotransmitters, sense of connection, improvement of mood, oxytocin that balances the cortisol of stress, nervous system grounding, rebooting your nervous system, vascular events, brain oxygenation, immune support, NK cells, IgA, T cell production, pain relief from endorphins, all the benefits of semen like serotonin, zinc, luteinizing hormone, testosterone that you get from your partner, plus strength, stamina, and flexibility, which are the hallmarks of a solid old age. So if you don't, you know, if you want all that stuff and you want to look 10 years younger than all your peers and be more in love with your partner than anybody else you know, having this great sex is good, but how do you do it? Try having a sex life bucket list.
I like that.
I've written hundreds of sex techniques and tens of communication skills, probably 30, 40, maybe 50 communication skills for everything behind closed doors. But what people really need is not just a skill or a technique. What they need are ideas for hot, sexy fun, what I call erotic play dates. And when a couple, and so if you go to sexlifebucketlist.com.
We're writing this down.
Thank you.
And we're going to be going to it. We, David and I, will be going to this.
Well, we have
I would love to hear on one of your next podcasts what's on the both of your bucket lists and what you decided
to try. Maybe you'll come back and we'll tell you we're going to do some of the things that you recommended because we are curious learners and we want to have our sex life be better, of course.
And you're a hot, sexy, gorgeous couple. So you should be doing all these fun things.
She married younger. That's what I'm telling
you. Oh, well, you married gorgeous.
She is gorgeous.
She is absolutely stunning.
So tell me about the bucket list.
Yes.
So here's what it is. What's the idea for the couples?
I came up with 48 erotic play dates. And you don't have to worry. There's nothing yucky on here. You're not going to go to this. When you opt in at the Sex Life Bucket List, you're going to get a 40-minute video from me where I'm going to walk you through a PDF that I give you. Print out two copies and sit there in bed on your laptop and watch my 40-minute video. That's your first erotic play date. And I'm going to walk you through all 48, and you're going to mark them. There's a little box next to each one. You're going to mark it an A, a B, or a C. A is, oh, this is definitely going on my bucket list. We talked about finding my G-spot. We never did, or whatever, you know. B's are, it's not for me, but if, babe, if you want to do it, I'm down. I'll try it, you know? Yeah, why not? You like that? That turns you on? Let's go. C's are, it's not for me right now. Never say never, because the things you used to look at as you mature, your personal development and your sexual maturation, they're very intertwined, like a DNA helix, because people who do the work, people who like personal growth and are open to advancing their sexuality and realize that sex is a series of learned skills that anyone can procreate, but hot sex is learned. And they want to do that work too. And so If you're downloading the Sex Life Bucket List, you're one of those people that wants to know more and you want to learn more. You're open to it. You don't think you know everything. You don't think you know all there is to know. And so you're going to hit your C's after a while. You're going to be like, you know that, you know, I used to think spanking was stupid and degrading. And now I think I want you to try it. You know, I think I want to try getting spanked or whatever. That was me, you know, so that was one for me. Even lingerie. I used to look at that and go, lingerie is so degrading. That's so objectifying of women. And my husband was like, oh, I really love it when you wear slutty high heels and thigh high stockings. And so I started doing it and realizing how fun it was. You know, so your partner is a big part of your growth. So when you have your A's, your B's, and your C's, and then you compare them and you make your A list, now you're like, Thursday night, we're going to try that queen vibrator and do a yoni massage.
I love that.
Or we're going to try a lingerie photo shoot, which I definitely think Julia should be doing.
I've done that a couple times.
And I did it. A hot tub photo shoot too.
Yeah. I did. We did that 15, 20 years ago.
He
has an album. Yes. Yeah.
Time for a new photo shoot or even video. It's actually really fun to video yourselves and then watch it later. It's harder for women than it is for men.
The sex life bucket list,
right?
We're going
to get that.
And how am I even going to get past number three on our first? I mean, you know, we get to number three and my head's going to explode. And then something else might explode. But
your calendar's going to be very busy now. You're going to look forward to it because you're going to be texting each other.
Yeah, this is great.
I got this new lube that we're going to use, or I bought the toy and it came in. Here it is, or whatever. You know, I got a new playlist.
Well, one of the things, and I know we're going to wrap it up, and you've given us so much resource, so many great resources, is one of the things that sort of sticks out in my mind, and I read this someplace, was sort of like, keep your motor running, right? Like, if you're always sort of touching each other or saying sexy things, then it's just sort of like you're keeping warm all the time. So when it's, you know, when you do want to have sex, it's not like foreign. It doesn't feel weird.
Yeah.
And that sort of sounds like a little bit of what the bucket list is like getting you in the groove of thinking and talking and teasing and all those kinds of things.
Yes. And I think it's also really good after you've done something, anything, whenever you've had a lovemaking date, do what I call, and I learned this from Dr. Patty, share favorite frames. Each partner gives the other one of the hottest moments during that lovemaking session that you had. And you're going to tell your partner what was super hot for you. And they're going to go, no way, that was your hottest moment. And you're going to be like, yeah, what was your hottest moment? And they're going to tell you, and you're going to be like, really? That's what you like the best. You learn so much from sharing frames afterward. And then you can keep doing that while you're apart over texts and things like that. You can be like, let me give you another frame. That moment when you did blah, blah, blah. Oh my God. That just got me, like, I went 10X in my turn on when you did that.
Wow. I love that. That's great.
Well, it's really, you know, first of all, we're so happy to be able to spread this information. That's the good side. The bad side, the more that we tell people about you, probably the less my business is going to be at my law firm. So it's a double-edged sword, but you know, it's just, you've given up, and we like to think that we're, you know, we're progressive and we do fun things together, but you have given us a really lot of great information.
We're going to get on this list and we so appreciate it. So if people want to get a hold of you, Susan, what is the best way of getting a hold of you?
Yeah. Probably the two best ways are betterlover.com, signing up for my newsletter there. I'd love to have you on my list. And I know you'll love it if you love this show. And then you can follow me on Instagram at my name, Susan, S-U-S-A-N, Bratton, B-R-A-T-T-O-N. Smoosh it all together, Susan Bratton, like one word, and you'll find me.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
We so much appreciate you taking the time from the West Coast. And as always, folks, you can find us here, www.thebullets.com, at The Bullets on all social media platforms. And Susan Bratton, we're going to put all of the links. And I've got work to do tonight, but it's going to be fun work.
Yes, yeah, we're really excited. We're really excited. Thank you so much. This is Conversations for Couples,
the podcast. Julie Bullet is a professionally licensed clinical social worker and family therapist. David Bullet is a divorce and family lawyer. Julie is not your therapist, and David is not your lawyer. This podcast is meant for educational and entertainment purposes only.